The main essence was that we first spoke about security standards, so as to situate the course and conclude that the crucial issue for organizations is to use the framework of security standards and tailor it for the use, and then paying attention to the aspect of continuous security improvement. Then I started with a lecture on methodology, where I argued that because of the need to deal with complex systems that change over time, evolving threats, new strategies, new defenses, and so on, that we must think in terms of the dynamics of the system. Then I introduced the idea of modeling using system dynamics, which we will do in two steps. We will first develop qualitative systems, qualitative models that allow us to understand the main drivers of behavior in terms of feedback loops, and then we will develop models that we can simulate. I introduced the tool VenSim, which you can get in a free version for academic use, that is for students it doesn't cost anything, and for us as teachers it doesn't cost anything if we use that for teaching. I do have a professional version which is more advanced, and which I, or my university rather, has paid for, and that we use in projects. So then yesterday I introduced using VenSim and created a simple model, simple qualitative model that describes the situation in a company that has detected a security gap. Security gap means that there is a difference between the security that the organization has, I am pointing at that, and the security that the organization wants to establish. We are assuming that we can measure security, and it is in principle possible using security metrics. This is an issue that every organization that is serious about security has to do. So there is a gap, and in order to close this gap, the management, the chief security officer, will have to make a decision as to what to do. In reality, there will be a full menu and spectrum of decisions. Here we consider a simple situation where the security chief resilience officer decides to invest in technology, better technology, so as to get a higher security. However, investing in technology is not sufficient. This technology has to be integrated in the system. This will lead to a better technology performance that will increase the security, and by increasing the security gap will be reduced. This is the idea, this is the intended impact of the decision, and as you can see, this forms a closed loop. We call it a feedback loop because it feeds back, and it is a balancing loop. We call it technology-driven security. It is balancing because the impact of this loop is to balance the security gap, that is, close that. On the other hand, things are never so simple, and investing or relying too much on technology can lead to a side effect, and that is to neglect the management part of it, the information security management system. This little minus that you see here indicates that more of technology investment carries the risk of less attention to the information security management system, and because of that, with some delay, and this is a sign that indicates the time delay, the security will become less, and because the security becomes less, the security gap will be increasing again. So we have the undesired, unintended effect of too much technology investment to the detriment of the information security management system. If you look at this closed loop that I am showing you, follow with the mouse, This closed loop results in reinforcing what is happening. And the reinforcing would mean that as the security gap is detected and technology investment is done, because of this debilitating, weakening of the information security management system, you get decreased security, and that means that tends to again to increase the security gap. And that's not something that you want. You want to decrease the security gap, but you have created a process that is working against your intended effect. That's very typical in complex systems, that some decisions result also in competing secondary effects that will work against what you want to achieve. So in the end, what the security officer needs to do is to couple the performance of the system to the need to develop security policies that will strengthen the information security management system. And then we get a new feedback loop that goes like this, and that I have labeled attention to security management. This balancing loop, it is a balancing loop. If you work through that, you will see an increase in security gap will lead to more technology investment, to more technology integration, to more technology performance, to more developing the security policies that leads to a better or higher quality of the information security management system that increases security and decreases security gap. So in the end, we have a picture of what is happening, where we have an intended feedback loop, technology-driven security, an unintended opposing reinforcing loop, information security management system in the shade, and then a balancing loop that tends to counteract the reinforcing loop, and that leads to attention to security management. So, any questions? Okay, so that ended the lecture yesterday, and today I want to introduce a new concept, which is the concept of security archetypes. And it is this lecture, Modeling Security with System Archetypes. Do you hear any loudspeaker? Is it good? It's clear, yes. Okay. Okay. The content of this lecture is to introduce the concept of system archetypes. They are particular causal loops that occur very often. Archetype refers to something that is kind of typical, that occurs everywhere. It's very common. And then I will show you that there are only four different system archetypes. I will first take the step of speaking about the generic system archetype and the importance of considering boundaries when you are dealing with systems. Then I will argue that there are four different system archetypes: under achievement, out of control, relative achievement, and relative control. And then explain how the boundaries tend to mask or to hide the unintended effects of decisions, resulting in often in problems that are difficult to correct. And then we will see some examples of system archetypes applied to security. Okay, so what are system archetypes? They are actually qualitative system dynamic models. They are very simple, and therefore they are easy to develop. And if you are living off the developing models, then you could offer that to your clients as a low cost. These models, they are special cases of what we called yesterday causal loop models. They allow to conceptualize problems. They can be used for discussions where your clients or interested parties, so as to engage in elicitation of new knowledge. You can also use them for a simple way of communicating insights that you have gained from complex system dynamic models. What is important to have in mind is that system archetypes, they are in a sense wrong, but this is typical for all models, because all models are wrong. Wrong in quotation mark. They are wrong because models necessarily should be useful, and that means they should be simplifications of reality. But the simplifications, if you do it right, they leave you with what is essential to understand the problem. So what you need to understand is that if you try to make a model that is kind of complete, that it is describing the whole of reality, then that's going to be useless. For instance, if I ask you, create a model of this room, then you probably will be confused. What do you mean by the model? And then I will say, okay, I want you to create a model so that we can understand or prepare or design this room for evacuation purposes if there is a fire, for instance. Okay, in that case, there are things that are relevant and things that are not relevant for this. It is irrelevant the color of the wall. So in the model of your room, you leave that out. And many other issues are irrelevant. What is relevant is escape routes that you have to think about. What is relevant is perhaps to alert systems for communicating if a fire starts here, or to communicating with the stereo so that you can get support from rescuers. Perhaps also having equipment to stench the fire and so on. If I ask you to create a model, this room is now kind of old, it needs refurbishing, then you will have to think differently. You will have to consider which materials are here, how do I repair them or refurbish them or paint them and so on. Then you have a completely different model. Obviously, none of the models is exactly equal to the room, so they are in a sense wrong, because they are not equal to the room. But our models should be useful in the sense that we use them, we develop them for what we need to address. In one case, evacuation, in the other case, for modernizing the room. So system archetypes, they are very, very simple, and they are wrong, but all models are wrong. But then we could say some models are more wrong than others, and we are looking for models that are useful. We don't care so much about the models being equal to reality. So now as to system archetypes, what they are. System archetypes, they help us to classify structures of causes and effects. Sorry, I got a call from Spain, but I cannot attend that. They are classified structure responsible for generic patterns of counterintuitive behavior over time. When I speak about structures, I mean structures of causes and effects, and they will be responsible, it will cause typical behavior over time that we find in many domains and in many situations. And they tend to be counterintuitive, that is, they cannot be understood easily, because they kind of behave in a way that is unexpected for our mind. These generic structures represent actions and unintended reactions, and they also consider time delays when things happen. Because these archetypes occur in many different domains in the same way, they have the property that you can transfer insights from one domain to another domain. We use the term isomorphic, which means iso means equal. It is an old term from Greek. And morphic, again, I believe is Greek as well. It refers to the form. They have the equal form. That means that you find them everywhere and they look in the same way. And this allows you to understand complex issues by transferring insights from one domain to another domain. System architects became very popular with a book that appeared in 1990. It was written by Peter Singer, who was a professor at MIT Sloan School of Management. His book, The Fifth Discipline, that sold in millions and was translated in many languages, even in Norwegian, The Femte Discipline. You find it. Perhaps you find it also in Ukrainian, for what I know. It was a very popular book. It sold in millions. And there he used heavily system archetypes to illustrate different kind of problems. And they have very colorful names like limits to growth, shifting the burning, eroding goals, escalation, arms race, success to the successful, fixes that fail, tragedy of the commons, growth and under investment, and some other names. So they are very evocative names, but by using so many different names, people fail to recognize that actually they were using very often the same archetype with different names. When you are drawing archetypes or causal loop diagrams, you can, in a sense, overlook similarities because you are using different names in the variables or perhaps putting in different details in the loops. But when you reduce and look at the archetypes very carefully, it turns out that there are only four of them. And these insights came from Stephen Wostenholm, an English professor and consultant, who in 2003 wrote a paper. You have it in front, I have uploaded it. Actually, he wrote two papers, and both are in front. And there he showed that the archetypes actually exist only in four versions. And his insight was that, in principle, an archetype consists of the intended outcome, what you want to achieve, and an unintended result. So they have two feedback loops. And each feedback loop can be either reinforcing or balancing. So you have two feedback loops. Each feedback loop is either reinforcing or balancing. You get 2 times 2, 4 possibilities. And then he showed that these archetypes, he called them problem archetypes. And then he showed that for each problem archetype, you can design a solution archetype by adding another loop that tends to correct the problem of the unintended outcome. Well, again, remember that we are simplifying issues. In reality, an intervention, an action to achieve some intended outcome will be able to elicit more than one unintended consequence. So when we are thinking in terms of system archetypes and condensing the unintended result in one feedback loop, we can say that there are two possibilities. One, you are very clever and design the feedback loop so that it summarizes several unintended results by aggregating, or you are just selecting the most important unintended consequence. There may be several others. So again, system archetypes, they are simple, generic structures, and we do not pretend to include all complexity in it. A system dynamics model of some complexity would have more than one feedback loop or more than two. For instance, this model, which actually can be simulated, of management of a landslide has several feedback loops. Some of them are shown here, but they are more like this. You can actually use InventSim to detect the feedback loops. You can select some variable, like for instance this one, and then click on loops, and then you get InventSim will find the feedback loops for you, and it finds here 1, 2, 3 loops that pass through this variable. And then you can take another variable like this here and click on loops, and then it finds 1, 2 loops that pass through this variable, and so on. So you can get, even in a model like this, which of course is more complicated than a system archetype, but still it is, it has not so many variables, perhaps it has 25 to 30 variables, you can easily get 12 to 15 or 20 feedback loops. The number of loops increase very quickly the more variables you have. So when we are considering system archetypes, we are thinking at a very high level, and we are also thinking on what is most important. We are selecting the most important, the most powerful feedback loops, and for the moment forgetting about other feedback loops. Okay, back to this. So Wolstenholme showed that there are four archetypes, four problem archetypes, and for each problem archetype you can have a solution. Okay, so let's have a look at the way that Wolstenholme thinks. When you are trying to act on some system, you are devising some action. That action will lead to some outcome and change the behavior of the system over time, but you are trying to manage the system over time, so you will continue applying some action, producing some outcome, and you have a feedback loop, because when you are managing a complex system, you always have to take in consideration what is happening. For instance, if you are driving a car, your action is steering the wheel, giving gas and whatever, but you are seeing how the car is behaving, and then you will change the direction when you need, or you have to accelerate or do brake and so on. So all the time you are applying actions, looking at the outcome and correcting and so on until you achieve some goal. So the same is in complex system, you are applying some action to achieve some outcome, and depending how the outcome results, you will continue with the action or change it. And this is what you want to achieve. You want to achieve some outcome, so this is an intended consequence feedback loop. For the time being, I left here the polarity, whether the actions, the effect of the action is positive or negative polarity, and whether the effect of the outcome has a positive or negative polarity. So just consider the loop like this. This is the intended feedback loop. But in complex systems, the outcome will always result in some effect on the system. It will propagate, affect other variables of the system, and virtually always the system reaction will sooner or later exert feedback on the outcome. And this is something that is unintended normally. You do not plan for that. Well, very clever people design simulation models so that they can actually detect all these things and then keep the feedback loops that they want to have, and try to weaken or eliminate the feedback loops that they don't want to have. But typically in many situations, the impact of an action results in some intended outcome, and the outcome will generate some reaction in the system that will impact back on the outcome, and that will be unintended. Typically there are time delays here or there, just for illustration I put it here. In addition, and this is very important, typically the unintended consequences, they are hidden or masked, they are difficult to see. There can be several reasons for that, I will come back to that. Sometimes it's because of our ignorance, You don't know the system well enough, so all this catches you by surprise. Sometimes the effects come so much delayed, weeks, months, even years later, that it is very difficult to connect them to what happened in the first place. So as a general rule, there are kind of walls or boundaries that make it difficult to see the unintended consequences. So this is the problem archetype, and it is generic because we are speaking in generic terms. We are not saying the action is like, for instance, investing in technology to address security. We just call it action. It can be anything. And the outcome, we don't tell what it is. In our specific case before, it was increasing the security of the system. Here, we leave it open. It could be some other thing. Or even in security, there are so many aspects that we could consider many aspects in security. So this is completely generic because we speak about abstract terms that action and outcome. And similarly, the system reaction, we are not saying what it is. We simply use the abstract term system reaction. In the example that I had yesterday, the system reaction was a weakening of the management of the system, or information systems management system. But here we use just an abstract term. And the other thing is we don't specify the polarities. So this is completely generic and very abstract and high level, and can be used in principle for any kind of problem in complex systems. Now, the what Westenholm proposes is that whenever you have an unintended consequence, you have to think of the actions in two terms. First, so as to provoke the intended outcome, and so to devise it too, so that it blocks the negative system reaction. So you have to think, have two thoughts in your mind. You have to devise your actions, your interventions in the system, so that they not only achieve what is intended, but they also help to mitigate, to block, or to reduce the unintended system reaction. So, by doing that, you have what Westenholm calls the solution link, and then you generate another feedback loop, which I am showing you now, which is this solution feedback loop. It is important that you learn to identify feedback loops. Let's again go back to the problem archetype and spend 1 minute in looking at it and see if you can easily visualize the feedback loops. You should also do some exercise in drawing system archetypes and looking at feedback loops. A feedback loop must be closed in that you follow the arrows and you come back. What do I mean by visualize? Mean that you should be able to follow a feedback loop. For instance, starting with action, you follow that and you are here, you're following that and you are here, so you have identified the feedback loop. And then you should be able to detect all the feedback loops that are in the system. In this case, it's simple. Actually, I have already done it. What I just want you is to engage and see if you can't repeat it. Do you have problems now in identifying the three feedback loops, or you see them clearly? You got them? Okay. So, notice one thing. In this case, one feedback loop goes against the clock. It goes like this. The other feedback loop here goes with the clock. This is completely arbitrary. You could have drawn this archetype in a different way. You could have done like this. Okay. here. You could take action. Outcome, and instead of going left, you could go right. And you would get a feedback loop that goes with the clock. So, intended outcome clockwise. And this is exactly the same, it shows exactly the same as in this diagram here, which was drawn the other way around. So it is completely arbitrary where you want to draw this with the clock or against the clock. Here in this diagram, the intended feedback loop is drawn against the clock, the unintended with the clock, and then the solution feedback loop results to be with the clock, because it goes like this, then it goes like this, then it goes here, and you close it. So it goes with the clock. We have against the clock, with the clock, and with the clock. But this is arbitrary. It's open to you, it's a matter of taste or whatever. Okay? Good. So now, the term of boundaries. Remember the boundary? Okay, I lost that. The boundary was shown here with such a line, and the purpose of that line is simply to indicate that there is some distance, some difficulty, some problem in seeing what is happening here. And there are different reasons for that. So what are the reasons? The reasons are that if you are thinking of a company, an organization, and so on, there are a lot of things that create boundaries. Disciplines, different disciplines in the organization, create problems of communication, and they are lead also to different sectors in the organization. So you have kind of walls in between. Different functions in that, again, lead to different works of functioning that creates boundaries at them. Also accounting, power, culture, or even the fact that you are perhaps in different parts of the world and there are time delays. For instance, you have companies like Statoil in Norway. They have also offices in Singapore, and they will be work within offsetting hours. When it's daylight here, people are sleeping or and so on. So communication across that, it's not synchronized normally and so on, and that can create again some boundaries of communication. And here are there are some examples that you will have. Even mental barriers, mental boundaries between individuals or sectors of the company. And we have simply to accept that is a fact. We speak of the discipline of systems thinking because we want to emphasize thinking not just linearly, cause-effect, but in terms of the whole system. And when we are doing system thinking right, we have to recognize such boundaries, such barriers do exist, and they are in a sense necessary. On the other hand, we need to be able to see through them. So they shall be made so that we can have transparency rather than obscure walls that do not allow us to understand what is there. These are challenges for organizations to create possibilities of transparency so that the organization is easier to understand, even if there are necessary barriers and boundaries. Now back to the archetypes. As I said, the fact that you have two kinds of feedback loops, reinforcing or balancing, leads to four possibilities. When the intended outcome results in a reinforcing feedback loop, And the unintended result is a balancing loop that blocks or mitigates or makes it difficult or intended achievement to be realized. Then you have underachievement. You are not achieving what you want. You are underperforming or underachieving. When the intended outcome is balancing, that is so as to achieve some control, and the unintended reaction is a reinforcing loop that works against, then the intended control is not realized, at least not to the full extent, and you have an archetype that we call out of control. Then you have situations where two feedback loops at the same time compete against each other. When the intended achievement is reinforcement, but you have another reinforcing loop working against, then you can get achievement, but you are paying a price in debilitating some other reinforcing loop, and you get only relative achievement. And then you have the case of relative control, where the intended control is a balancing loop, but the unintended consequence is another balancing loop that is working again. So you get some in control, but you get it at the expense of other sectors of organization. So underachievement, out of control, relative achievement, relative control are the four possible feedback archetypes. And now what I am going to do in the next hour, we will have a break now very soon, is I will go through the four archetypes, show you first in generic term how they look like. I will use abstract names like actions, outcomes, and so on. But then I will give you examples that illustrate in practice these archetypes, how they occur in practice. And then it is very, very important for you that you do the exercises. I am going to show them now. I will mention that now, and we will later spend some time with exercises. We have exercises to model insecurity with system archetypes. And there I pose, first I tell you how to design archetypes. And then you get a number of exercises like insider targeting, a massive attack, and so on and so on. I think I have about 10 challenges for you that I recommend doing. So all in all, there are these malicious insider, social engineer, incident reporting system, and so on. All these relate to security challenges, apart to number 10, which is resistant to antibiotics, but still this is an example that can be related to security. It is very important that you spend time doing these exercises, and the reason is very simple. Probably you like football, or you like skiing, or whatever. How much do you learn just from watching TV or going to a football match? Not very much. You want to play football well, you have to play yourself. You want to ski well, it's not enough to see, go to Holmenkollen and see the Holmenkollen race or watch TV. You have to do skiing yourself. So when you are watching me telling you things, you are watching TV. You don't get better if you don't exercise that. So what I want to do is play archetypes. The way that you should play football is you want to become a good football player, or train skiing if you want to become a good skier. Okay, we take now a break, 15 minutes, and then we continue.